Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
The rule is sort of built into, there's some extra words that go with this one that you'll hear in the scripture reading. Built into this one is that we rest one day a week. That we actually don't have to constantly be doing things. We can rest. That's important for y'all out there to know. Okay, honor your parents. Even old people are important. Yeah? Thank you. You shall not murder. Straightforward. You shall not commit adultery. Ask your parents. You shall not steal. You shall not lie. You shall not covet. Coveting is really, really, really wanting something that someone else has. You can see how that one would get us in trouble. And you might be able to see how that one would make it hard to follow God. So sometimes we think about these as the rules you have to follow, right? But they're not quite the rules you have to follow. They are the ways that we know how to follow God. And so I want you to be able to hear these when we listen to them in the scripture reading coming up in just a moment, and you are invited to stay up here for that. When we hear these in the scripture reading, I want you to remember, these are words for helping us be free. Words for helping us be free so that we can follow God.
So this morning's scripture reading is from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy, chapter 5, verse 1 through 21. Please follow along as I read. And this is Moses telling you, not me. Moses convened all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and ordinances that I am addressing to you today. You shall learn them and observe them diligently. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb. Not with our ancestors did the Lord make this covenant, but with us, who are all of us here alive today. The Lord spoke with you face to face at the mountain, out of the fire. Now at the time I was standing between the Lord and you to declare to you the words of the Lord, for you were afraid because of the fire and did not go up to the mountain." And he said, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord our God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male or female slave or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the resident alien in your towns, so that your male and female slave may rest as well as you. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord commanded you, so that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, neither shall you commit adultery. Neither shall you steal, neither shall you bear false witness against your neighbor. Neither shall you covet your neighbor's wife. Neither shall you desire your neighbor's house or field or male or female slave or ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor.
Your PW Bible study is talking about the 10 words. We often have translated that the 10 commandments, and we approach those 10 commandments as a set of rules. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, and it's for sure developmentally appropriate as you are beginning to understand how the world works to think about the Ten Commandments as a set of rules. That's something that we need as we go through life. We need to know how the world is put together and what is expected of us. There's a reason that when you get to your kindergarten classroom, the very first thing you do is sit down and talk about the rules and the ways that you're going to be together in that classroom. And this is a very particular kind of rule that we're talking about. This is a particular kind of rule that God gives to God's people as they are coming out of slavery, out of an existence where they did not get to decide and determine what their life would be, and they're brought out so that they can become servants of God, as God had always, all along, called the people to be. And so I just acknowledge a tension there. If you've been in contemporary issues thinking about the different ways that we make sense of our political world, you may recognize that there's a tension there between the need for authority and structure on the one hand and the need for freedom and possibility on the other hand. And we need both of these things. So as I talk about these 10 words and some of the words that come after them, I have to acknowledge that I'm not going to do justice to that tension. I'm not going to do justice to that tension in part because I think I need to push back against simply the idea that these are commandments that you have to follow, that these are somehow so basic that anyone could follow these commandments. I mean, that's straightforward enough for the straightforward ones we identified there. You know, don't murder, don't commit perjury. That's a pretty good basis for getting along with each other. But I know that I'm not personally good enough at don't waste God's name or don't covet to require either of those rules of anybody else. I've got my own work to do on those. And that's not to mention that one about the Sabbath. I told you you'd hear more words about the Sabbath, and you most certainly did, didn't you? The Sabbath commandment, the Sabbath word, is one of those words that is explained with a whole bunch more words. When we think about the Sabbath, we are often thinking about it as a way of kind of lamenting changes in society by wishing some of the old rules applied. And we often turn to this word when we look at that. And when we're lamenting that, by the way, we are lamenting that there aren't more of you here on Sunday mornings, right? That's sort of the conversation we're having when we say, oh, you know, we wish people would honor the Sabbath. Now, y'all are here on Sunday morning. You're here right now. I think you probably are aware of that. So here's my story about the Sabbath and the changes around that Sabbath rule, word. It's from when I waited tables. When I waited tables, I was also on the list to do pulpit supply, which meant that when I was sitting down with my manager, just having been hired, and one of the things we go through is, when are you available? What shifts can I schedule you for? I had to say, well, you can't schedule me on Sundays. At least not Sunday mornings. Sometimes I would work Sunday afternoon, but that's neither here nor there. You can't schedule me for the Sunday lunch shift. And my manager was very understanding about that, as he was of most things. But you know, I was fortunate when I was waiting tables that I didn't have to depend on that work for my entire income. My colleagues who waited tables, who did depend on that work for their entire income, they could not afford not to work on Sunday lunch because of y'all. Sunday lunch is the busiest time at many restaurants because of y'all, because you come to church and then you go to lunch on Sundays. Now, that by itself, there's nothing necessarily wrong with, but let me tell you when it makes me impatient. It makes me impatient when I hear Christians on Sunday morning complaining that Sunday morning is no longer sacred, that sports and work and all of these things have crowded Sunday mornings out, and then they get up and they go to lunch on Sunday. That tells me just exactly which families you wish were in church. And it's not the families of those folks who depend on those restaurant jobs for their income. All that is to say that these 10 words are not simply rules. They're not first rules. First, they are a story. They're part of God's story. In fact, we hear these rules, these words, as a story told within a story. As Paul said, this is Moses speaking to the people. Moses is recapping this journey out of Egypt. You'll remember last week when we were in Egypt and needed out. Well, now the people are out, and God has led the people through Moses through the wilderness for 40 years. So if you reread the reasons that are given for that Sabbath word, God instructs us to keep the Sabbath because God brought us out from slavery, and so neither we nor others should have to be slaves again. Well, now the people have wandered through this wilderness for 40 years, and they are just across the Jordan River from the land of Canaan, where God has promised to take them, and now they're just waiting for Moses to die because he's not allowed to go over the river with them. And they're waiting for the generation that was born in the wilderness to get old enough so that they can go through and occupy the land. Because only Moses and two other people in the scene today, in the audience today, were present in Egypt before this journey through the wilderness. So the book of Deuteronomy presents itself as this like super long farewell sermon, kind of like this super long introduction to the scripture lesson you are listening to right now, only longer. This farewell sermon narrates like the entire history of the people's wilderness journey, including this part from very early in the journey when God gives the people a law. But you know, one verse in what we read really blows me away. As Moses was talking, he said, "The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Mount Horeb, not with our ancestors, but with us, who are still here alive today." Now, that's a poetic reality. Like I said, only Moses and two other people were there for that. The entire audience had been born during this wilderness journey, but Moses wants them to know the covenant is for them too. Jewish tradition pictures that everyone was present there at Mount Horeb because Jewish identity is inherited. And so their ancestors were there, therefore they were there too. Christians don't strictly inherit our identity, but we recognize that we too receive this covenant individually, each of us, even as we receive this identity together as a church. So we have to hand this covenant along to each other, to the next generation, every day. And that's the intro to the scripture lesson. Because the scripture lesson is going to point to some practices for passing this identity along. Here it is from Deuteronomy chapter 6, which, accountants, that comes right after chapter 5. Moses says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. This is the word of the Lord. Moses talks about these daily practices, reciting that verse, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one." Reciting that twice a day, holding these words on your hand, on your forehead, on your doorpost. You may recognize, if you are educated in such things, you may recognize these as Jewish practices to this day, ways of remembering who we are as God's people. Now, Christians, we belong to this covenant through another story. We belong to this covenant through a story that is also handed down to us through community practices. The Christian story goes like this. You don't get it on the screen, but this is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul is writing to the early church, and he says, "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" It's the same covenant. It's the same story of liberation from what most deeply enslaves us, brought home for us in Jesus' life and death, made real for us in this meal. Paul's not only talking about one event far away and long ago. He's talking about a community of love and forgiveness and witness that we form every time we gather at this table. Paul reminds us the same thing that Moses reminds the people in the wilderness, that this table is for us, and this table is not only for us. Paul hands this tradition on within a conversation about making sure that everyone else in the church has enough to eat. That's what the table of Christ is about. Christ is present at a table when we extend the invitation to everyone, when we make room for every identity and situation and label that we would otherwise judge and exclude as too much this or not enough that. Christ is present when we remember that the table we share here, we also share with our neighbors in San Ysidro and in Paris and in the Bahamas and on the Pine Ridge Reservation. We hand down this covenant every time we eat at this table, where everyone is welcome, not just some, but especially all, especially the poor, the underprivileged, and the most in need are truly welcome. Let us pray. Reconciling God, you call us to your table. As we come to share this holy meal, make us mindful of those who do not have an invitation to eat with us. As we receive your presence, open us to share your presence with others, not only spiritually, but in sharing all the good things of life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.